when we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
So John's weeping. He says, I wept not a little, I wept much. John broke down crying when he realized there was nobody there that was worthy to open this book. If nobody's worthy to open the book, what's going to become of it? What's going to become of us? Because the book must be open. Judgment must come forth. And if nobody's worthy, all those saints in Hebrews 11, 37 through 39, they suffered needlessly. The Bible says there that they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And if nobody's worthy, then all that was for nothing. If nobody's worthy, Stephen was stoned for no reason. If nobody's worthy, John the Baptist could have kept his head. If nobody's worthy, John's brother James didn't have to die a martyr's death. And if nobody's worthy, John wouldn't be exiled for preaching. Listen, friends, there has to be one that's worthy. There has to be. Look at verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Listen, John might have wept much, but he didn't weep long. His cries that broke up the silence, one of the elders looks at him and says, hey, stop crying, John. There's no need to cry. Look, there's one that's worthy. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Does that not excite you tonight? Hey, I want you to know it ought to excite you. Because the Bible, God Himself said that there was going to be one that come, that He would send forth to forgive the sins of man, to be the Savior of all men, the Messiah. You know who that is? It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah's a lion's whelp, the Bible said. Hey, listen, John, everything's going to be okay because the lion's here. In Genesis 49, the Messiah was promised to be out of the tribe of Judah. In Isaiah 11, the Messiah was promised to be out of the stem of Jesse. That's the father of David. Jesus alone fulfills every prophecy for the Messiah. His own people, the Jewish people, they rejected Him as their Messiah. They rejected Him. Look at verse 6 of our text. John goes on, he says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a what? A lamb. There was not a lion there, but he sees a lamb. A lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. What a picture. What a picture. I can scarcely take all this in. What imagery that John sees in that vision as he suddenly turns expecting to see a lion of the tribe of Judah. And what does he see? He sees a lamb as it had been slain. He sees the precious Lord Jesus Christ as he's standing there in the midst of the throne as he takes the scroll out of God's right hand. That's who he sees. Oh, friends, I tell you what, this is exciting. It's exciting. Behold the Lamb. It's what John the Baptist said. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. It's this Lamb that John gets to see. Christ. He was the last sacrificial Lamb to be sacrificed for the sins of everyone. No more did the Jews have to go into the temple and sacrifice things and give them to the priest and cut the throat and drain the blood and sling it all over the place. No more was that needed because Christ was the last Lamb that was slain. The last one. No more sacrifice needed. Oh, friends, John says the Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes. The number seven, we know, represents completeness. It's the God number. It's the perfect number. The horns represent power. The eyes represent the all-knowing, all-seeing God. This Lamb has all the seven spirits of God upon Him. Look at verse 7. John writes, and He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne, and the worthy one, the Lion of Judah, the root of David, the Lamb that was slain, He comes forth and He takes that scroll, that book, from God's right hand because it belongs to Him. He walks to the Father And although nobody else on heaven or earth or under it or above it, nobody else is able to do this but the rightful one, as he goes over and he reaches out and he takes that book from God's powerful right hand and he transfers that deed to his son Jesus. Amen. He's worthy. So he takes the scroll and he starts from the beginning and starts breaking those seals. From this point on, he will break each seal slowly. Now, we're not going to read all of Revelation tonight, but if you want to keep reading it, when you get home, you'll see each time there's another seal broken. And we go seal to seal to seal until the seventh and final one is broken. And listen, friends, he takes that and breaks them one by one. And from this point on, as he keeps breaking it, he's going to pour out his vengeance and his wrath upon sin and man on this earth. And make no mistake about it, it's coming. He will purify this earth. His four horsemen, one by one, will gallop onto the scene and wreak havoc. First the white horse, the red, then the black, and finally the pale horse of death and hell will ride onto the scene and gallop on. Look at verse 8 of our text. It says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." The prayers of the saints. Friends, these prayers that you pray up to heaven, one of these days, friends, these prayers are going to be revealed as Christ is there. Do you know God loves to hear your prayers? They're sweet odors to him. Back in the days when they made the sacrifice and they burnt the incense and they burnt that fat and it brought up and it was an odor up into heaven and God would smell it and take it in. It was a sweet savor to him. I want you to know your prayers are the same way today. And when you lift up a prayer to heaven and it reaches the throne of God and as he takes that in, oh, it's a sweet savor that he has. Oh, friends, these are the prayers of the saints, it says. This is a picture of heaven and the church falling down at the feet of the worthy one of Jesus to worship him. Those 24 elders right there, they represent the church. They represent you and me, those that are saved tonight. This is us that John gets to see as we fall down at the feet of Jesus. I want you to know from the oldest form and the truest form of worship has always has been and always will be to fall down on the ground in front of the one that you're worshiping. I don't think for one single second that we're going to stand there and dance or anything else in front of the Lord. I think we're going to hit the ground like we were dead, just like everybody else in the Bible did when they came in the presence of God. You come in front of the presence of the Lord Jesus, you're going to fall down. Job 1, 20 through 21, the Bible says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." It didn't say he stood up and looked proud and held his head up and worshiped. No, it said he fell down on the ground and he worshiped. Those wise men that came in the presence of Jesus in the Bible that says this in Matthew 2 and 11. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother." And what? They fell down and worshiped him. They fell down in the presence of that little baby. Why? Because they knew this was the line of the tribe of Judah. This is the Holy One. My friend, when you come in the presence of the Lord, you will fall on your face in humble adoration before him. And praise his holy name because he's worthy. Philippians 2, 10 through 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I know the Bible uses that word "should." And a lot of times we use that word like, well, you should do this, you know, like you have a choice. No, this word doesn't mean you have a choice. This word means you will do this. Every knee and every tongue will confess. Every knee will bow. Everyone on the face of the earth will bow down. It even says, and under the earth. So everyone and everything, every creature will fall down before the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 9 of our text. John goes on to write, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Friends, listen, we, the saved, the church, will reign along with Jesus Christ. He's given us this privilege to reign with Him. We are the redeemed. We are the ones that's going to sing a new song. We are going to stand there before the throne and sing to our Creator and to our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, this has been reserved just for us to do. If you are a redeemed child of God, you will reign and rule along with Jesus Christ. We'll have all things in common with the Savior. We'll reign triumphant over all His enemies. It also says we shall reign on the earth. This, friends, means that we'll reign along with Christ during that 1,000-year reign there as He sits on the throne of His father David. Look at verse 11. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Listen, this vision here before John is a clear picture. It's a picture of how all of heaven is in unity at this time. The ten thousands and 100 million plus thousands of thousands. This is a great number and a company of angels rejoicing along with the redeemed church that'll be there around that throne. What a time of worship. Listen, a lot of people say, "Well, I don't want to get involved in all that worship stuff. You know, I just want to be quiet and sit down here and not disturb anything." You better get used to it now, friends. There's going to be a day of worship like you've never seen before. Listen, we've had some good times. We've had some good services. We've had some good singing. We've had a lot of rejoicing. We've had a lot of people excited, but you've not seen nothing yet. Oh, when we get around the throne up there, around the heavenly throne, and we're there at the feet of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a celebration like you've never seen before. Oh, we have these great homecomings here every year in August, the first week of August. And listen, we have a good time. We fill up the building. We fill up the fellowship building. We eat and we sing songs. We get excited. And all these things. But listen, that's going to pale in comparison to from the time that we get to stand before Jesus and celebrate with Him. Oh, friends, think of those that's gone on before you. Those that were saved, your loved ones, your family members, your sons and daughters, your moms and dads, your grandparents, all those that you love that's gone. Already up there, they're waiting on us, friends, when one day we'll be up there celebrating with them and worshiping a risen Savior. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. John says in verse 13, "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." My friend, not only is all of heaven praising and worshiping Jesus, but every living thing on earth, every man, woman, child, animal, insect, bird under the earth, even the fishes and the creatures down under the ocean will be worshiping the Lord, the Lamb that was slain. Every single one of them. Look at verse 14 and we'll be finished. John goes on to say, "And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever." Friends, what a time in heaven it's going to be. And if you're saved tonight, I want you to know you're part of this heavenly vision that John had. This time that's going to occur in, I believe, the very near future. There's not a thing left on God's timetable that has to occur before the Lord Jesus calls His church out of here. I believe that with all my heart. I believe one of these days we're going to see that sky break open. We're going to hear that trumpet sound. And my friend, we're going to see Jesus. Oh, the Bible says those that are alive and remaining will meet Him in the air. But those that were dead, that's gone on before already, those graves are going to break open. And they're going to come up and they're going to receive a new body. And they'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And we'll meet Christ there on that cloud of glory. And as we ascend up into heaven with Him.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014. Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, May the Lord richly bless you.